Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, and he's speaking to us by phone because he's traveling. Daniel, good to have you on the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, and we're going to take up the subject of guns. You know, for years, I've always complained that I'm for gun control. I'm for gun control of those people who call them government agents. You know, internationally, just think of all our guns, guns and weapons of war, how many people have died at the hands of those guns. And also here at home, you know, well over 100,000. The number is probably not exactly known, but a lot of federal bureaucrats carry guns. And there's a lot of effort, of course, to get rid of guns from the average person. You're not allowed to protect yourself. But the gun issue was into the news this past week, and that had to do with Virginia, Northern Virginia, where a large number of bad liberals live, picked on Southern Virginia and the people who believed in the Second Amendment and the Constitution. And there was a reason why they were able to do that. Last election put the Democrats totally in charge of the state. And they are very, very aggressive against the gun issue. So there was a large rally planned at the courthouse. A lot of people showed up at the courthouse. And they were planning, the liberals were planning, that, oh, there's going to be a big riot here. Everybody's going to have a gun. There's going to be shooting and killing. And all of major media has kept warning. And to their disappointment, guess what happened? It was totally peaceful. Some of them were even cleaning up after themselves as they left. Not quite like a liberal rally would have been. Sometimes they end up with more violence, and I think they usually do end up with more violence than a conservative libertarian group, because we happen not to endorse the violence. But anyway, even with the demagoguing before the event and the trying to rile up to people and have some violence, the liberals were totally disappointed because it worked out well. And I think what I'd like to try to do today, Daniel, is talk about this and key in on the real issue of why in a republic and a free society, people ought to be able to defend themselves with a gun if they so choose.
And that certainly is part of our history enshrined in the Constitution. And like it or not, but you know this, and I think we can talk about later, this goes with the problems of democracy that our founders very well understood, that now just by happenstance in Virginia, because of the massive growth of federal government, bringing in massive amounts of new population who owe their lives and their livelihoods to government, the state of Virginia has changed. And now all of a sudden, because of one vote, you have a new governor who wants to bring in 8 new gun control laws, completely separating the rural parts of Virginia that have been there for generations. And here you have the result of it. And this is an annual rally that they hold, Dr. Paul. It's called Lobby Day. But because of these threats of these 8 gun control bills, that's why we saw a police estimated over 22,000 people showed up. And as you point out, many of them well-armed, but also well-behaved.
Right. You know, the founders anticipated problem like this. They were really very wise people because they expected this to happen. And they warned us. One of the first things they warned us was, it's the dictatorship of the majority, because that will never protect individual rights. It'll always bear down on the minorities. And here it is, those human rights activists who are the ones that are bearing down and destroying the rights of the minority, and they pretend that they're protecting because as long as the majority votes for something. But the founders knew this and guided against it. That's why there's an electoral college. That's why there's 2 senators per state. But that problem exists, and the founders knew about it. And one thing that they established as the ultimate protection against that type of government was to provide for the ultimate test of whether the people could rebel and fight this. And that is the nullification. The founders believed in jury nullification. If a law gets through the House and the Senate and the federal government and the courts and and all this happens, and it's still a bad law, and somebody's being prosecuted, like they could use it in maybe some IRS cases. If the people said it's not a good law, they were allowed and encouraged to vote against it on the principle of the law. Well, the juries aren't even allowed to hear that anymore. So the founders had that there, but that is gone. And now there's another type of nullification, and Jefferson was strongly in favor of this, was state nullification. If you passed a federal law, he'd be pretty outraged about what's happening right now in his Virginia. The states could nullify the law, but that didn't become a standard practice. It was argued and dismissed, and that was too much rights for the individual states. But states could nullify laws. The jury could nullify laws. Right now, what I find interesting, Daniel, is what happened in California, because there's a bit of nullification. Of course, the conservatives aren't very happy with this, and that is the sanctuary cities. Oh, this is a sanctuary city, and we're going to disobey the federal government. We're not going to enforce the federal law. Went away. That's what this principle is all about. The folks in Virginia say, you know, the counties now, and there's over 100 different government organizations, government function, that said, we're not going to enforce these laws. So in a way, the spirit is still there, but it has to be guided so it doesn't lead to violence.
And it really is fascinating. You know, you have these local sheriffs, and an article we both saw on Zero Hedge, there's a tweet quoting Sheriff Richard Vaughn of Grayson County, Virginia, who was participating in the rally, and he said, if these bills go through as proposed, they will not be enforced. They are unconstitutional. So as you point out, in over 100 localities in Virginia, in nearly every county, there is a place where the local government said, we're simply not going to enforce these laws coming from Richmond because they're unconstitutional. And this is a major challenge, not only to the state, but really to the federal government. And this whole idea of sanctuary idea is spreading. Over 200 local governments in 16 states have also adopted this concept. So it really is, you talk about something that's interesting and exciting when you have sheriffs saying, we're not going to enforce unconstitutional laws. It really is, it gets your attention.
You know, the globalists are still around, and there's all variations of what globalism is all about, and some halfway decent, most of it's wicked. And I was thinking, if they carried this to the extreme of majority dictation, what would it be like when it's the majority of the world get to dictate it? Everybody has an equal vote. Some people argue the case, which is totally foolish, but that would be horrible. So, but another thing about this whole idea that bugs me and a lot of other people is the strongest proponents of gun control. Sometimes they're billionaires, even running for president, and they want to control and not let the people who are getting shot and killed and robbed every night in the inner city. Oh no, they're not allowed to have guns to protect themselves. But guess what? These rich, liberal, do-gooders, believers in democracy say poor people can't defend themselves, and therefore, yeah, oh, well, we're different. We're elite. We have to be protected. We're important people. We're rich people. We run the economy. We run the government. And so they have gated communities, and then they have government money protecting them as well. So this is such hypocrisy, and they get away with it. And, of course, where would we hear it from if you're listening to the mainstream media? They're not going to point out the hypocrisy of all this. But I think this is going to get worse because I've talked so much about the economy deteriorating, and they'll just pass more laws and they're going to run out of money. So we will have the breakdown of law and order. And this is going to be very difficult. So that's why I was happy to see that little episode in Virginia where they started cleaning up their mess and they were talking about peaceful disobedience of the laws they don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you mentioned, the mainstream media, endless reporting about how this is a white supremacist rally. These are neo-Nazis. Whereas if you look at the marchers, and I've watched a lot of video from it, there are plenty of black Second Amendment activists and black Second Amendment groups. I saw a group of fellows with Black Guns Matter T-shirts on. I saw gays for the Second Amendment groups there. So, you know, the left would, this type of left would like nothing more than to have it a bunch of stormtroopers out there. But the fact of the matter is, these are everyday folks, you know. And we touched on it earlier, but, you know, Tho Bishop, who writes for the Mises Institute, had a good piece out that we both had a look at today. And he really captures a deeper issue here. And here's a little quote from what Tho wrote. He said, to a certain degree, the showdown in Virginia is really only superficially about guns. It also represents the valid anxiety that has arisen as the state's rural population finds itself increasingly powerless in the face of a rapidly expanding political power wielded by high population centers. And that is, I think, really a key statement digging down to a real source of this anxiety.
Yeah, and I think we already see that in California, you know, the political power and the money and the politics controlled by San Francisco and other areas, and there's a lot of other people who suffer from this. So that is the case in Virginia. I'm in Northern Virginia, geographically is a small area, rules the rest of Virginia. And people, you know, say, well, democracy, as long as they vote that way. But they don't. They talk about human rights and pure democracy and taking care of everybody. They don't look at the infractions of their principles, their own principle. But the principle we would like to follow is, natural rights, the right to own property. And quite frankly, I know some people that aren't friendly or are not comfortable with guns. They are on this issue and they want to protect the right to own guns. But it's the right to own property that is so important. It's the right to own your own body, your individual rights, you know, natural rights. And that shouldn't be touched. So if people want to own guns, they ought to be able to own guns if they don't commit and initiate violence. So this is, in some ways, I've over the years compared some drug laws and gun laws with the same way. There were some conservatives who loved the drug laws, but not the gun law. But in a way, it's similar. You're protecting liberty. You know, if you have the right to own a gun, and you can protect yourself, you don't have to tell people, well, I'm shooting rabbits or what you're doing. I heard somebody on the radio today saying, well, in case the government gets out of hand, you know, she understood the Second Amendment. So they know that there's a good reason to own the guns. And I think there are more and more people. But back to so many things that we talk about, whether it's our foreign policy or monetary policy, what is needed is education. So the basic thing of individual rights and human rights versus natural rights versus this collectivism, you know, that rights belong to the group, which is, I always find, and I've written about this, how detestable it is for people to have rights because I belong to this group and this group has this and this. No, everybody has equal rights because they're an individual and they deserve it and they deserve to protect it and they have responsibilities. And I think that's what's motivating so many people now is a lot of people have given up on the responsibilities, you know, because you have to take care of yourself. Government will take care of me. But this is why we're going to have a climactic end to this, because government is failing, just as I think the subject we're talking about, even their gun controls, it's failing. And people are going to get those guns, you know, because they don't want to be shot and killed because the violence is getting worse. Some other countries, they've gathered up the guns. But I, you know what? I'm a little bit more optimistic about the people in this country. I think they will keep their guns. And every time you hear of a situation like this currently going on in Virginia, people are rushing out and get more because they know what's coming. They're not saying, oh, here, let's this go along with them, get rid of the guns. I don't want to offend our government agents.
And we know that the confiscation of guns doesn't work. In fact, it's sort of comical overseas. I was just reading an article recently about how in the UK, they're trying to develop knives without sharp tips because in the absence of guns, people with malevolent intent are using knives to stab people and kill them. So it's not the weapon. you talk about, how this is going to continue. I don't know if you saw this, but Pat Buchanan had a good article today, and he's wondering really if society itself is coming apart. You know, he says, how long, how does it all stay together and for how long? And that is, I think, a good question, one to ponder as we see the rights being taken away and we see the pushback over that.
Right. You know, if we're talking about confiscation, of course, that happened in Nazi Germany. And the conclusion of that was, you know, a Holocaust, a real horror. And I remember just getting interested and saying, why didn't they have guns? Why didn't they hide their guns? Why did they go along with this? And of course, that's a complex question. But a lot of things, a lot of times people will totally ignore how racist a lot of this stuff has been. And I usually avoid that term. But in the issue of guns, after emancipation, a lot of white people say, oh, we've mistreated them. They're going to come. Don't let the blacks have guns. And there were laws written against that. And it still is. I understand that it's harder right now for black people to go walk in and get registered, you know, and do trying to follow the law. They have a harder time doing this. So that's another reason why they have less protection in the inner city. And they're more dependent than ever, you know, on their largesse. So therefore, they go along with it. But if everybody were treated equally, everybody should have the access to the gun. And everybody should have that firm obligation not to initiate violence against another person.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was thinking about closing if you're ready, Dr.
Yeah,
Paul.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna note the irony of Northern Virginia, the two richest counties in the United States, Loudoun and Fairfax counties, being the sort of the ground zero of the gun grabbing of the anti-gun movement. How ironic it is that this is also the headquarters of the U.S. military industrial complex, the area where manufactures the guns and the weapons that go overseas and kill so many people. So I think there's more than a little bit of hypocrisy there, Dr. Paul.
Right. So our title, I think, invited that point that you were making about the hypocrisy of it all. You know, rich liberals are well protected, and they don't even have to mess around being prepared to shoot at somebody. They just control the system. They're the political people. They're part of the outfit that hires the individuals who have the guns. But a lot of rich liberals have their own private protection. They own guns. They have guns in their houses. They've been revealed, and the hypocrisy is out there. So it's something that raises the question, why is it being harder for a law-abiding citizen who's threatened daily from violence and expecting it to get worse, and he wants to express his constitutional and his own individual rights, a natural right to care for himself, why is it getting harder to do this? So here we are, Virginia, the birth of liberty, and Jefferson are leading the charge to make sure that people can't defend themselves and run roughshod on it while they hide behind their picket fences and their barbed wire and their fences and everybody, and they protect themselves. So I think pointing out the hypocrisy is very, very important, but we'll have that opportunity, but I hope we can still win the battle because we are going to see more violence. And that's why the libertarian message and what our message is in the Liberty Report is that we should seek a way to solve problems, peacefully. And I think it's the disagreement and the misunderstanding about what rights are all about and why the individual rights position of private property ownership is what is best for everybody. It's best for the middle class and prosperity and peace. There's no reason why we should fail on delivering this message and not win the intellectual battle. Of course, all we have to do is contest 99% of the professors in our university and all mainstream media, so that's where the real problem is. But the logic and the power of the ideas are still there, and that's why we shouldn't give up hope, and we should continue our work and our effort for peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.